and welcome to We the People. It's not unusual that every few years we find that Article 370 of the Indian Constitution, one that gives special status to Jammu and Kashmir, becomes a political flashpoint. But perhaps the debate around 370 has become a little more intense this time because it's a BJP government in power. In fact, an early controversy for the new government was when new Minister for State in the Prime Minister's office, Jitinder Singh, a member of parliament from Jammu, actually claimed that the process of consultation with stakeholders to scrap 370 had already begun. The government was quick to say that he had, in a sense, spoken out of turn. He too claimed that he was quoted out of context. But the larger question remains, is it an article that is actually beneficial to the development of Jammu and Kashmir and also to the peace process within the state? Or is it an article that is obstructionist to the larger process of nation building, as others have suggested? We are, of course, here joined by a very special panel, but I'd like to first bring up Dr. Karan Singh. He's, of course, the former Sadri Riyasat of Jammu and Kashmir, the son of Maharaja Hari Singh, who signed the instrument of accession that made Jammu and Kashmir part of the Union of India. Dr. Singh, we saw your statement appealing to all political parties, to all stakeholders, to tone down the rhetoric, as it were. You said that it was too sensitive an issue. May I ask you, why is it so sensitive? Why is this article, in your opinion, so important to the present or the future of the state?
As you know, my father signed the instrument of accession, which is exactly similar to that signed by 400 or 500 other princes. So, Jammu and Kashmir is an integral part of India. The constitution of the state, which I signed into law on 26 January 1957, also says that this will be a part of India. So there's no controversy about that. However, whereas all the other states signed merger agreements later, merging their states with the rest of India, Jammu Kashmir was in a special position. There had been a war. Half our territory is no longer under our control. 84,000 square miles, my father's state, only 42,000 are under our control. The rest are being controlled by Pakistan or have been leased to China. So there was a special situation. There was talk of plebiscite in the air. It was very clear from the beginning that Jammu Kashmir would be part of India but would be given special consideration and a special position. And that is what Article 370 of the Indian Constitution enshrines.
But sir, that was then. Why is this article important politically to the people of Jammu and Kashmir? Of course, it should be said that the three regions will not have the same opinion on this article. The valley will
not. No,
they
will not.
Position.
I mentioned that in my statement also.
Yes.
But generally, it has become a sort of a symbol of autonomy for the people of Kashmir. And they feel very strongly about it. And therefore, it obviously has political implications. And also, just because Jammu and Kashmir is an integral part of India, there is no reason why it cannot receive a special treatment. In fact, Varka, if you look at Article 371, there are clauses for 8 or 10 other states with special provisions. So this isn't something unheard of.
Yes.
Therefore, to at this stage bring up a controversial matter seemed to me to be unwise. And in any case, if you want a discussion, it has to be conducted in a cooperative and consultative manner, not in a confrontational manner.
The Constitution, of course, saw this as a temporary article. That is how it opens. And that is what the BJP and some others would make the argument, that this was not meant to be permanent. How would you respond to that?
It was a temporary article because the Constituent Assembly of the state was in the process of finalizing the terms, as it were, of the accession. So therefore, they could have changed the situation. They didn't want it to be frozen. Secondly, wasn't the Dalit reservation also only for 10 years?
That's a very important political point, that so many other things that were meant to be temporary have not been addressed, and they don't get the kind of political, in a sense, ferocity that Article 370 invites. Dr. Karan Singh, would you then advocate for this to be a permanent feature and a model for other states as well?
You see, I am not advocating anything. If the Prime Minister asks me for my advice, I'll give it to him. And I must tell you again here, Barkha, I am not speaking as a Congress spokesman. I am here in my personal capacity, and I do have views on this issue, which I do not intend to share with you. But if and when the situation arises, my views, my ideas, my support, my cooperation will always be available. All right. The government of India and the people.
All right, Dr. Karan Singh, thanks so much for setting the framework, as it were, for this debate. Before I get the politicians in, let me get G. Parthasarathy in. What do you see this debate as? Is it political posturing that comes up every few years? Should we be candid enough to basically say that no government is actually going to get rid of Article 370? I'm sticking my neck out and saying that that's my belief.
You cannot freeze things forever. Nothing is frozen forever. But firstly, may I just mention...
Yeah.
That 562 states acceded to India for three subjects, which was defense, foreign affairs, and currency.
But that's as Karan Singh just said, the merger agreements were signed by the rest of them later.
That's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is that by 53 we started getting suspicions that Dr. Sheikh Abdullah was looking at independence, because a committee he set up spoke of independence. The reason why the BJP feels very strongly about this is that their founder, Shyama Prasad Mukherjee, died in a jail under very mysterious circumstances.
The Praja
Parishad. It became absolutely impossible to have a situation which prevailed then for Indians to go to Kashmir without even almost a permit. Change came when Bakshi Ghulam Mohammed became Prime Minister, the Chief Minister there.
Prime Minister.
You had this whittled down. You had the authority of the Supreme Court, the Election Commission, you know, other bodies, the Auditor General of India, all extended to the state.
So then, over the years, it's important for people to know that what Article 370 was, it isn't in any case.
It isn't. In 1957, as Dr. Karan Singh says, things changed, though the amendment came in 1954. Therefore, with the present provisions, we have been able to deal with the sort of terror that Pakistan unleashed in the 1990s, and there was people's support. This is a fact we have to bear in mind. There is concern about the Article 370, because not even within the Jammu and Kashmir, because there is a feeling the valley is dominating to the detriment of others. And for us, for India, it is becoming a serious problem with regard to our borders with China and the concerns in Ladakh. These are the issues which require discussion now. 370, I think, ultimately would have to go. And I agree with the... But 371, as Dr. Karan Singh says, came in for a number of states. There were almost 9 articles. Everybody from Andhra Pradesh and Goa.
Gujarat, Goa, Maharashtra, Nagaland, Mizoram, Sikkim,
all those
Assam.
States, yeah. Now, the other thing, which people object to is that you can't own property there for an outsider.
Yeah.
That prevails in other states also.
Yes.
But as I said, and I think Kashmir will pay a heavy price for this.
But why would it, are you contradicting yourself? Just quickly, because I want to get in Muzaffar Beg, why would it ultimately have to go? If there are all these other states.
For the simple reason, there are these residual issues. If you can settle it within 370, fine.
Residual issues? Yeah,
and then you have some absurd provisions. A lady in Kashmir gets married to an outsider from the state. She loses state citizenship.
No more now.
But the High Court actually ruled against that, if I'm not wrong.
But now, the electorates are frozen. And I go back basically to security. I think you need to have regional council, but the initiative has to come from the state.
Okay. Muzaffar Beg, is there an acknowledgement among the political parties of the state that A, there are significant differences, as Parthasarathy has said, between the different regions, which makes this a very inflammatory debate. It's almost a debate that gets divided not just along regional lines, but sometimes along religious lines, which is why it's a sensitive debate. Do you accept the formulation that this was always meant to be temporary, that one day it will have to go, but that process has to be political? It cannot be legislative. It cannot be thrust down the throats of the people of the state.
Barka, when this article was drafted and approved, at that time the understanding of the Constituent Assembly was that whether this article shall remain or go or be amended will be decided by the Constituent Assembly of the state.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
No, there, please. That's why it was titled temporary. Constituent Assembly of the state after the arrest of Sheikh Abdullah in 1953 on 14th of July 1954 decided that this article shall continue as a basis of relationship with the Union of India. That Constituent Assembly resolution was then signed, sealed by the President. After that, this marginal note, which says it is temporary, came to an end because the authority which was designated by the Constituent Assembly decided that Article 370 shall remain as a permanent feature.
You're saying it's facetious to argue that it was actually meant to be temporary. It was temporary in the context of a Constituent Assembly,
yes,
which no longer exists. Sanjay Kaul, as somebody from the BJP but also from Jammu and Kashmir, where do you come in on this? Your minister made a gaffe. He embarrassed the government. And yet, let me argue it on his side for once, by just simply saying, did he say anything that is not the political position of the party, except to say that the process of discussion has already begun, which it could not have on day one?
Yeah, I mean, you know that he said that he could have been probably misquoted, or that he said something.
Yeah, but he was on camera saying
Misquoted, yeah, or in a sense that he didn't intend to say that. But the point is, you're right. I mean, where is the contradiction between a stated position on this? And also, I think I'd like to put on record that the reason BJP feels strongly about this is not only because one of our founders was sort of died in mysterious circumstances. That would be reducing it just to an individual. I think there is a very larger idea of oneness, of nationhood, and I think that is what we stand for.
What about the other 9 states that are also given? Like Nagaland, Nagaland and Mizoram, for example, acts of parliament cannot apply to local customs or religious beliefs, but we never get worked up in the same way. There probably isn't even discussion in the mainstream media.
True. But the fact of the matter is that we are discussing 370 right now. I think this is one of the things that we want to fix, and we'll probably go on.
And how does it obstruct nationhood?
I think if you are not going to relate what we are looking at Kashmir, or the history of Kashmir lately, or the violence in Kashmir, or secessionist activity in Kashmir, with the idea of otherness, then I think this is a facile argument. I think either we don't want to face this whole thing really, or take it head on, or we just want to escape with, you know, stated positions, dredging history, pulling out the old stuff again and again.
You're saying if the JNK parties are arguing that the article is actually the constitutional link between the state and the rest of India, for you it's actually a symbol of that of how fragile that relationship is.
And not
is.
Just me, I represent a lot of people in this country who feel that way. One, and two, please understand, these are status quoist parties. They gather their strength and they receive the strength from that situation.
Not that the BJP is anything but status quoist when it's been in power. Vajpayee was actually, ironically, the most innovative leader when it came to a peace process. And everybody is looking for Narendra Modi to echo Atal Bihari Vajpayee in Kashmir. So this is
that.
One of the ironies, Sanjay,
no,
that when you're in opposition, you say one thing, when you're in government, you're actually much better.
Leadership demands that you actually take those steps. So why would you, in fact, it was Mr. Modi who at that point in Jammu said, let us debate the issue. Has it brought you incredible benefits? Let's talk about it.
See, Babu, you've actually argued in your columns repeatedly that 370 gives JNK the powers that Narendra Modi as chief minister probably wanted for Gujarat. That his constant argument has been that this can be a model for greater federalism, that it's anyway whittled down to a unrecognizable article today. And what it gives JNK today, maybe all the states of India want for themselves.
Absolutely. If you look at the website of Mr. Modi,
yes,
he had asked for 9 things, including discussions on, you know, who should be the governor of a state, whether Sagaraya Commission should be applied or not, NCTC issues, and his whole argument was that the Union of India rides roughshod on the state governments and legitimately so, and it's quite accurate. The way 370 has been diluted from a model of shared sovereignty to a model of cooperative federalism, I think whatever Narendra Modi wanted for Gujarat is exactly today what Kashmir has in 370.
Which is greater empowerment for the legislature to take the final decision.
A consultative mechanism, a process of cooperative federalism. Now, India is not today what it was in 1947. And you see trends today which are far more dangerous, like the sub-national protectionism in India today. You are having state economies who are being regressive and creating economic barriers. This needs to be addressed. It cannot be addressed by riding roughshod on them. It can be addressed only by empowering them.
Can
you look at it in terms of 370 being a model of a cooperative federal state?
This is a really interesting argument, General Jaiswal, because it actually turns the conventional argument on its head. And if you look at some examples, we know that states were able to block the NCTC. You know, an anti-terror body. The BJP ruled states when Mr. Modi was not Prime Minister was able to block the GST. Are we being paranoid about 370? Is it time to actually say that we are the United States of India in some ways and our states need greater political autonomy, and what 370 gives JNK does not harm the larger sense of nationhood in any way?
I'm not a constitutional expert. But what Beg Sahab has said, that it's lost its relevance of temporary status.
Yes.
Well, I think it was drafted as part of, this article was drafted as part of XXI, that is 21, which deals with temporary transitional, right? That has not changed. Two, after 56, the constitution of J&K, which was signed that time, that India is and will remain part of India. Therefore,
J&K is part.
Yeah, sorry.
J&K
is part of
yes.
India. I stand corrected. Therefore, all the people, the inmates of J&K, they become part of the first line before the preamble, which is the strongest line. We, the people of India.
Yes,
I they become part of we, the people yes. of India, right? And if they are part of we, the people of India, they cannot be fragmented part of India, people of India. Once they accept that they are part of we, the people, then now we have had our representatives in the form of parliamentarians.
Yes.
We should give them the leeway to decide our fate.
Let me ask you one contrary question. What if there are people, and we know, and you've served as a commander in the state, so you know, who don't feel part of that we, the people? Now, by taking this away, are you further alienating them? Or are you achieving anything?
What I'm trying to say is that we, the people, have no legal right, nor moral right to question the constitutional exigencies.
Okay.
Wherein this article, for instance, because of this article being there,
yes.
the international community, Pakistan for that matter, everyone says that it is not integrated with India, whereas it is integrated with India.
Partha, do you accept that it is related to the larger India-Pakistan problem as well, that it gives Pakistan some kind of
advantage? I look at it this way. Except for the Pakistanis and parts of the Islamic world, this problem is in nobody's mind. As long as we manage and administer the state of Jammu and Kashmir peacefully,
yes.
and we don't rig elections like we did in 1986,
yes.
and democracy functions, I think it's off the international calendar. Second thing I want to say something. I think one needs to look at the fact that we were nearing a framework on Jammu and Kashmir
yes.
in 2007.
Yeah.
And I think this issue, I don't want to go into the details, but I think if you go, I would sincerely hope the present government goes down that route.
But there has been a suggestion.
The issue of 370 gets automatically addressed.
Yes, yes.
Okay, there has been a suggestion and explored that a bit later. Bharat, you've actually argued that all nations, when they consolidate in a sense the nation building process, at some point will have to take tough decisions. That history or the uniqueness of history cannot be cited continuously, as it is in the case of Jammu and Kashmir, for stopping to take a decision on 370. What would be the benefit if 370 were to go? And who would that benefit be to?
Well, look, I think the article has essentially consolidated the separate identity of Kashmiris. I mean, that was pretty much conceded by Dr. Karan Singh himself.
Yes.
Now, if that separateness gets consolidated in just 60 years, can you imagine if it becomes a permanent thing, then in 100 years, it could very well become, be equated with sovereignty and a separate status outside the union. What you suggested as a prelude to my thesis is this: all nation building is very bloody business. There are sections of society that do not want to be part of unions, that are coerced, compelled, pressured to be part of a larger whole. They're not small European countries and so on. We're talking about large nations, whether it's Russia, United States, India, and China, and so on. Just look at the history. Most of the histories of these large nations have featured genocides. Forget constitutional niceties that we're talking about.
But should we forget them?
No.
This is like people who say India should be more like China.
Don't trivialize the historical trend.
No, I'm asking
trend.
You a serious question. That should we do away with what you call constitutional niceties?
The historical trend is, while yes, we are in the 21st century, there are notions of liberal, liberal ideas of rights and so on.
Yes.
But once the constitutional niceties are taken care of in terms of Kashmir being in part of the union, however it was dragged in, that's not the issue. All written constitutions have the powers of amending.
Except the constitution of J&K, which has no power to amend itself. You have to see the presidential orders. The only constitution in the world which doesn't have the power, the legislature doesn't have the power to amend it. So what is it worth? The constitution of Jammu and Kashmir is not worth anything.
for me because I can't amend it.
Because a constitutional amendment changed the capacity of the assembly.
Constitutional presidential order is passed in 1975.
The constitution of the union, I think, surpasses the constitution of a state. It doesn't really matter.
That is an interpretative argument.
It's not
that is in many ways the heart of this argument, Ashok. Let me ask you a slightly different question. What kind of dilemma does this present for the Modi government? Because it's been a big part of the BJP's political rhetoric. But is it only rhetoric, or can this rhetoric trap the BJP? Because my observation of the BJP, and you've already seen Mr. Modi doing that in his first week, is that they're aggressive in opposition, they come into government and they'll spring an element of surprise. Is the BJP trapped by its Article 370 rhetoric?
I don't think it's necessarily trapped. If it's creative in terms of its political workings and processes, it can actually find solutions. Why are we pretending that there are only two options before us? One, to coerce people in the valley to sing the national anthem, and the second, to ask them to walk away and secede. Because politics is about finding solutions between these two.
So what is this middle ground solution on 370?
You see, can 370 go? Can I envisage? Obviously, as Mr. Rabu said, if 370 goes to every single state, then there won't be a problem. When we are discussing 370, we are discussing sensitivities on both sides, in Kashmir and outside Kashmir.
So and within other regions of J&K also.
Yes. Or in the valley and Jammu and Ladakh, but also in the valley and India in a sense.
Yeah.
On the legal exceptionalism of J&K, for which 370 has become a shorthand, yeah, but which is not limited to just 370, let's face it. Can I envisage the situation where 370 goes? Yes, I can. I can't envisage the situation where tomorrow morning you say, people in Jammu and Kashmir, we are taking away 370, the valley will be up in flames. It will be. Yeah. There's no question about that, and no government can tolerate that. Can you persuade people and say that you have lost out on from X, Y, and Z because of 370, and this is the alternative? Can it form part of a negotiation between Delhi and Srinagar, between Srinagar, Ladakh, and Jammu? Can it form part of a process of expanding the political space Vajpayee tribe doing between?
It's a very good point, because what I'm hearing you say is that if politics succeeds, if a peace process, either between India and Pakistan or between...
No, I think there are two things. There is an India-Pakistan process which, yes, is separate. There is also a domestic angle we have.
Exactly, exactly.
India or Delhi, Srinagar, Ladakh, Jammu, the Kashmiri pundits.
And if politics were to be more successful,
and the Kashmiri pundits as
then
well.
And the Kashmiri pundits, and this issue would not be as relevant as it is today. Except you accept that, and then I'll come to you, Sanjay.
I'm talking not as a politician, but as an Indian and as a human being. A statement has been made that once you talk of nationhood, unity, all states have to be treated alike. This is contrary to the Constitution, Article 2. Article 2 of Constitution of India says that different states can be included in the Union of India on different conditions. This is Article 2. So the Constituent Assembly's wisdom was to make sure that if certain states, for historical reasons,
I understand, but would you agree argument that if the political process were to be more effective, then the debate around 370 would not be so volatile?
Secondly, whether or not this article is anymore, it can be amended or not, I will recommend that you read only three judgments: Sambat Prakash, Maqbool Damnu, and Lakhanpal.
Is the argument legal though, or is
thirdly, it has been said that because Kashmir Article 370 can undermine the security and defense of India. Despite Article 370,
yes,
all the provisions which are necessary for the security of India and defense of India have already been extended. So I wholeheartedly endorse the view of Mr. Partha Sarthi that it's only in an ocean of understanding that these small rocks of misunderstanding can be dissolved.
Bakha, may I join you?
I want to endorse what
Ashok has said.
That
what we need is a dialogue of all stakeholders.
A formal dialogue?
And no, it can be informal. Why?
Hasn't that been happening for years? An attempt?
Listen, you sent interlocutors. That's not the way to deal with it.
Exactly.
There are serious issues concerning the Kashmiri pundits.
Yeah.
There are serious issues in Ladakh. I'm really worried that people in Ladakh are going to look to China if they are treated the way they're doing today. Mm. There is dissatisfaction in Jammu. No investment is going into Jammu and Kashmir. These are issues we need to debate nationally.
Yeah.
I think when people from Jammu and Kashmir come to other parts of India, they should show understanding for the sentiments elsewhere. Mm. And people in India would have to likewise. So understanding of their sentiments. That is very important because a new generation is
okay. I'm seeing a hand go up, but I'll let you come in there, Sanjay. And then I'll take a question.
What I'm trying to say is that you have to stop underestimating people at large, and specifically people of the valley, and then making them exclusive and different. The point is, everybody wants to move on. Have you actually taken a small check on how many people are suddenly seeing Narendra Modi as a possibility of change? I have feedback from Sopor, somebody is texting me that you will be surprised to know that I did a dipstick and I had 40% willing to discuss Article 370. Now my point is that you are constantly shoving them into small jars of original or historical understandings. People are moving out. Concerns are crossing boundaries and borders.
But equally, as somebody who spent a long time reporting Jammu and Kashmir, one of the fatal flaws that every government is guilty of, every government, is that when the tourists go, when more people get jobs, when you can't find a ticket, when you can't find a hotel room, or when there's a high voter turnout in elections, that is not the same thing as finding a political solution.
No, exactly.
Why are we mixing one with the other? Isn't that the mistake that is repeatedly
made? But my problem is that you have a solution in mind. And so let's not begin with the conclusion. No, all I'm saying is just open again.
That we want to revoke and consult stakeholders. If there's a debate needed on 370, I think there is a debate needed on how to leverage 370 for development of Jammu and Kashmir, not on abrogation of Jammu and Kashmir.
Well, that is your view.
But you required... No, I'm... Because you said that is determined, the only party that has a view and then wants to kind of put it on is BJP, that I will abrogate 370. I, as an individual Kashmiri, welcome a debate on 370, but not an abrogation.
All
on
debate,
how 370 should be leveraged.
All debate begins from a position.
All debate begins from a point of view. The BJP is the only party that has a position on this.
True, but the BJP has also been the only party which has shown innovation in Jammu and Kashmir.
That I agree with.
There's that essay, the paper which Wahajat Habibullah wrote in the early 2000s when he was in Washington.
Yeah.
And there's one paragraph there which has struck me, and I was moved by it, where he said Kashmiris are treated with condescension both by the Pakistani establishment and the Indian establishment, and they essentially feel you throw money at the political elites here and you buy them off.
Okay.
And this frankly has been the Congress attitude towards Kashmir, which is part of the problem.
Okay, you're saying the Congress is part of the problem. Let's get a question, then I want to come to you, Bharat.
Yeah, yes. There are two things that need to be understood. Narendra Modi is raising the issue of 370 because he wants to pave way for corporates, his favorite corporates like Adani and Tata, to come to Kashmir.
Why do you link it to corporates?
Of course, that's the case. Why has he invited the Pakistani premier? Why do you think? Because Adani wants to open a gas. He wants to sell gas. He's desperate to sell gas to Pakistan. But the second issue is the AFSPA. I mean, Mr. Ashok said that what is Kashmir missing out on? Under AFSPA, your rape and murder laws are not applicable in Kashmir. What are you talking about? What are people missing out on? We don't need this fraud model of development that you have unleashed in Gujarat. There are so many inequalities, and there is so much coercion, and there is so much exploitation.
You're
living in the name of development.
And you're
I'm from Kashmir.
Okay. Ashok and Bharat, if you want to come in there. Bharat, let me start with you. The fact is that you are dealing with cynicism. How do you deal with it? Do you deal with it by saying, just get rid of 370, be tougher?
When Drabu talked about cooperative federalism,
yes,
there is a notion there that each state, therefore, as part and constituent of the union, would in some sense be economically self-sufficient and give in to the till. J&K by itself, at the Indian part of it, has not been able to be economically independent.
I mean, ill-informed dialogue on Kashmir.
But it's true.
That is what you think. India has used corruption as a mode of cohesion in Kashmir.
If a development model
which is not based on the economic resource of J&K is not implemented, any economy will be a dependent economy.
That's true.
But Jammu and Kashmir the only state? And whatever we get according to constitution.
We don't get anything
in the begging bounds.
Besides statutory grants, besides constitutionally allowed taxes, I would like to know how much goes into J&K. I have worked in this area for 20 years.
Can I get Mr. Parthasarathy to come in there? This is a very complicated debate because there are people, and this is a common narrative, that why should Delhi keep subsidizing Kashmir? They don't even like India. They're not patriotic. Haseeb is challenging this notion that there's an economic subsidizing of Jammu and Kashmir going on.
Look, it's very difficult to say that Jammu and Kashmir alone is getting something which certain other states don't get.
The perception
has to be corrected. There is now the challenge to you is, as he said, Mr. Kaul said, let the younger generation which is coming up learn to interact. Kashmiris also should learn that they have to go out of the state, and that they'll have to amend some of their laws if they want investment from other parts of India and indeed from the world.
I'm completely in agreement with this. I would like to know which Indian academic researcher has worked on Kashmir. There's no law in 370 that prevents investment in J&K. It's that Indians don't want to invest in Kashmir. I would like to know
why. But that's
one,
also a sweeping statement. That's also a sweeping statement.
I will defend it. I want to take it to a different level, Parker. J&K implemented the most radical land reforms in the world.
Absolutely.
Not just
that's
India.
That's true.
Has one Indian academic worked on it? You have worked on Kerala. You have worked on West Bengal. You have worked on other areas.
But what does that prove about 370?
It just shows...
What does that prove about 370?
It shows the apathy of the Indian civil society regarding Kashmir.
I want to get General Jaiswal, Bharat and Ashok in. And there are lots of hands going up. General Jaiswal, why link 370 to the larger security debate? How is it relevant? When Sanjay Kaul of the BJP says that there is an otherness element, let's not be politically correct about it. That's what it represents. The fragmentation. That's another word I heard. In your estimate of serving there, is that true?
You see, 370 has got two effects, which I say that firstly, their own RPC, as they call it, Ranbir Penal Code, they have no protection for anyone who's working or acting in good faith over there. The security forces,
yes,
by virtue of the demand which the situation has created over there, is operating. And if in case this protection is not provided, and that's why AFSPA is there, if that is not provided, then half the army will be in the courts. Secondly, Article 370 is being used by the separatists in a different manner to mislead people, because of which the terrorists are mushrooming. They are convincing people, the innocent, they are convincing them. It's not part of India.
Ashok, I'm just wondering, I listen to General Jaiswal, whether 370, is this debate symbolic? That as Beksap said, it's a constitutional link. And for General Jaiswal, it's a tool in the hands of separatists.
You see, as Mr. Bharathasarathy said, Article 370 today is not what it was when Shyamal Prasad Mukherjee protested against Jammu and Kashmir's exceptionalism and was martyred for that cause.
That's right. It has been quoted any provision of India relating to security or defense which is not applicable to the BJP. I agree with Beksap on that.
But frankly, Omar Abdullah or other people from the other side are willing to admit. Because if Article 370 has been whittled down and Kashmiris have continued to sort of live with India after that,
that's an interesting point. Because if it is unrecognizable as an article today, which you say it is, and the fact of the matter is that has not changed the constitutional link between the state and India, why would further erosion or doing away with altogether change the relationship when it hasn't changed in 40 years.
There is no further erosion possible. Whatever had to be eroded was eroded, I would repeat, unconstitutionally. And in fact, the Constitution of Jammu and Kashmir is the easiest for Government of India to amend. No other constitution has been amended so much, so many times, with such liberalism.
Talk about now. Why is it staying important?
No, if it is eroded so much, then it is now only a psychological barrier. And you admit it. So how is it hurting you?
The point is, it is becoming a psychological barrier. It has been whittled down from a model of shared sovereignty. Because we had three things. We had the constitution, residuary powers, and you had the elected head of the state, which were really giving you sovereignty.
Yeah.
So you had a model of shared sovereignty. Over the years, you have whittled it down to a model where it is a form of cooperative federalism, but where you ask the state government, I am appointing this guy.
Okay, let's understand.
You're regretting the idea that basically the princely states have actually sort of devolved. So you want the same sort of exclusion. The insular nature of the Kashmiri with regard to his place on earth has to be dismantled. This is a psychological problem. If we can communicate and talk, and we can solve
it. Can we take more questions? Yes, sir.
This has created regional imbalances in J&K.
Regional imbalances.
Yes, terrible regional imbalances. And Kashmiri pundits, whoever talks about Kashmiri pundits.
Are you a pundit? I am very much a pundit.
Ravindranayan is my name. What they have done for Kashmir for the last 22 years, we are starving. Nobody talks us. Think about that.
Acha, why will 370, either its existence or its going away, you believe make a difference to your life?
No, it will never make any difference. This has created regional imbalances. Kashmir is at one area. Jammu is different. Ladakh is different. 370 article is nothing. It has been created by some people.
I endorse the imbalances of our friend that the real issues in Kashmir are not talked about, addressed, resolved. Only psychological fear is created. That unity, there is no unity, Kashmiris don't feel Indians. I'll give an example. A girl who voted for, I don't know which party in my constituency, she carried this mark on her finger and in presence of police, her finger was chopped off. And
but you know what's the atrocity and brutality of the police force happens? We just saw it in Budayu in UP.
Please let me tell.
Vek Saab, is that police atrocity unique to
J&K? They were undressed.
Vek Saab,
and police was watching.
Vek Saab.
There is a vested interest that this Kashmir issue should go on.
Okay, let me get
Bharat.
There is nothing wrong in an issue being discussed again and again.
What does it represent? I am unable to understand. Are we bringing this down to a psychological debate?
Basically, it's a self-inflicted problem in perpetuity.
Inflicted by who? Now you said
self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted by the state.
By the state. By the union. Yes, by the people. Because otherwise, there would have been an amendment by the 1954-56 and Ghulam Bakshi Muhammad's government when the first elections were held for the separate status of Kashmir to be dismantled.
I would like to know which election was held to dismantle 370?
That should have been the threshold at which it should have been done.
The first election. 1951, where National Conference won 73 or 75.
My question is, how much in time are we going to keep going back?
This is the point. You see, why do we have to keep going back?
Okay.
The point is that if 370, I mean, the irony is this. Kashmiris, when they come out of Kashmir, feel very Indian. When they go back to Kashmir, they feel very Kashmiri.
Okay, any Kashmiri in the audience?
I'm sorry.
Are you from Kashmir?
Yeah, I'm a Kashmiri.
So what's wrong with someone being an Indian and being a Gujarati? I watched in the parliament that people were taking an oath and then saying Jai Bangla, Jai Gujarat, Jai Madhya Pradesh. See, what stops people having is America not a nation? They have dual citizenship.
Okay, let me give a counter argument.
What makes a nation
Ashok,
is caring for
each other? Is it comparable? Jai Maharashtra, Jai Telangana? Okay,
Let anybody answer me one question.
If
370 is amended, it can be amended only under Article 368.
Yes.
Under Article 368, no amendment will apply to Jammu and Kashmir unless the government of Jammu and Kashmir says yes. Which government of Jammu and Kashmir?
I want to understand a slightly different issue. Why does this matter so much? Why does it get everybody so enraged?
Like I said.
Okay, you're all speaking together and I have questions to take. Ashok, go ahead.
This is like,
in theory, if somebody is a proud Indian and a proud Kashmiri or just a proud Kashmiri, I have no problem with it. The traditional Indians attitude, the state's attitude towards what are called frontier territories, Jammu and Kashmir being one, the Northeast being another, frankly has been something we're not very proud of. Yeah. It has meant buying off local political elites and keeping them quiet to keep the state with you. Mm. Okay, which is why they keep changing sides each time the government changes in Delhi. And this is not sustainable, not workable, not serving India, not serving the people. It may serve a few elites, that's all. So this has to be certainly changed. Second, one thing I'd like to point out, if there are sensitivities on the Kashmiri side, which they certainly are, there are also sensitivities on the Indian side. If we have been unfair to people in Jammu and Kashmir, and we have. People also have to realize that each time there are special arrangements made or even temporary arrangements made for the Amarnath Yatra, if there are protests in the valley, it does cause a reaction here. General S.K. Sinha lost his job because he wanted to set up temporary shelters for Amarnath Yatris.
Not quite right. But let me also tell you that the Amarnath, the Shivling was discovered by a Muslim, managed by a Muslim. And it's run by a Muslim.
I have never seen that being disrupted.
So that's a different matter. That's not true.
Mr. Garud. It was disrupted.
Let's not get that into 3 years
ago.
Okay, I think the point that Ashok is making is that there is a hostility often. One is the neglect of the state, the failure of politics.
There is also hostility
outside the valley because there are, to many people outside the valley seem like absolutely inflammatory or hostile statements or responses. You're from Kashmir, you wanted to say something.
Before making my point, I want to contradict the point which he made that Kashmiris feel in India Indian. I'm a Kashmiri, I never feel Indian. Never. I ever go to every Kashmiri, they will never feel Indian.
Where do you live?
I live in district Bandipora, Kashmir.
No, right now where do you live?
JNU.
In JNU. So you're studying here, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is what Ashok is saying, that there's a lot of anger because you will have people coming here and saying, we don't feel Indian, right? Like you have just said, I don't feel Indian. How do you deal with this? Do you deal with this sentiment with anger, which is also a natural response? Do you deal with it by saying, tum kyun rehte ho yahan chale jao? which is, I also hear that. No, I but do you deal with it with empathy and say it's a failure of the state that there's somebody who doesn't feel Indian?
No.
It is a bit of both. I can't force people to feel Indians. If someone wants to feel Kashmiri, that oh, Daga, I'm not Indian, or Manipuri, not Indian, that's fine. I can live with that. We should be able to live with that as a country.
Yeah.
It also depends on how he's expressing it.
Yeah.
Okay, if he's being deliberately provocative or violent, then obviously I will react. If it's a sentiment he believes in.
But we have sedition laws in this country, by the way.
That's a separate argument.
What he's describing.
That's
what
he's
They were not in 3-7.
They were not.
No. To uphold the integrity of India.
Okay.
This is what needs to be fixed. He is absolutely right. But if you go back and see why this is happening, you'll probably get the answer, not start accusing everybody else of being wrong. So the important point is, if you understand this, then you go back and you undo the stuff that was all wrong. And one of the things that has been wrong is to try to give him the idea that he doesn't belong here, and to try to give us the idea that he doesn't belong here. And so that...
Okay, 1 minute. Bharat, come in there, and then I'm going to take another question. How do you deal with political alienation? In many ways, the debate comes down to that.
I think there's always going to be a dissent about people who are disaffected. There's a majoritarian view which says, well, too much accommodation, well, what happens to the majoritarian interests or the interests of the union? On the other hand, if you mollycoddle a certain section, again, you do the same thing. You spur the kind of...
You've written about mollycoddling the separatists, and you've linked it to 370. Why does the existence of 370... And Sanjay, a question for you also, because it was L.K. Advani, as Deputy PM, who met with the Hurriyat Conference. That's the highest-ranking national leader who has ever engaged with Kashmiri separatists. So I come back to this paradox about the BJP, but
the,
go ahead.
The thing is this, you see, at the kernel, the core, is this sense of separateness. As long as you fuel that, you're going to have a problem. As these little, as young, as this young, young
that in India
here talks about it, he says it doesn't feel Indian. Now that's a problem. Why doesn't he feel Indian? He says there's history. Of course, there's history.
In
the history of Kashmir not being integrated into the Indian whole.
May I please?
Yes.
Separatism is dealt with by a measure of persuasion, affection, and coercion in appropriate measure.
So carrot
the
and
three stick. Have to be sort of calibrated, and you achieve the desired results. You go to the northeast.
Yeah.
In Mizoram, everybody is proud to be an Indian, which was not the case 25 years ago. Yeah. So this is going to be a long-term process in Jammu and Kashmir. But we should not hesitate to debate two things. One, the current problem of regional imbalances.
Yeah.
And two, the larger issue of its constitutional place in India.
I think that's an important point, that we do need to talk about Jammu and Ladakh, that when somebody from J&K says, I don't feel this or I don't feel that, what about the other regions? Sir, you had a question.
The perception is that J&K is now economically islanded, culturally isolated, administratively overworked. So why don't you replace 370 with 371, which is prevalent in other states? Go step by step, okay? Then I believe there will be more people embrace the idea In a very, very natural process.
So in a sense, what you're saying is the exceptionalism is the problem. Ashok, you wanted to come in there? Yeah.
So if somebody in Jammu and Kashmir says, I am Kashmiri, I am not Indian, I'm fine with it.
But most people
I'm fine with it. For me, a test of his or her belonging to this larger construct of India, however you may want to define it, is not standing up and singing the national anthem. It is the fact that when a boy from the valley takes part in Indian Idol or some such contest, the whole valley cheers that Indian contest, cheers the boy, and he wins.
So you're saying the measurements of nationalism also have to change?
Have a question? Yes, when we talk about Kashmiris not feeling that Indian, whether that is more of a physical barrier or an emotional barrier. And talking about emotional barriers, sometimes I think that calling Kashmir as, you know, something special and giving it a special status or having Article 370, you know, that is sort of telling people that, okay, you are special, you are separate. So
you're saying it's underlining the separation.
Yes.
Or the sense of being separate. Okay. Well, let me get a question here. Tell us which part of the country you're from and then...
Yeah, I'm from Assam.
Okay.
I believe the provisions like Article 370 creates a separatist tendency in the people from both sides. Mm-hmm. Similarly, people from Northeast, they also feel in the same way. Mm-hmm. Because when you are creating special provisions for certain states, then the people will start feeling a separatist.
And tendency. You experience this in Assam as well?
In Delhi, especially in Delhi, I have experienced this. And I believe that it's creating a psychological barrier.
Okay, let's take another question here. Yes.
Our politicians here in JNK and in India are forgetting two important factors for youngsters: education and employment. Also, Section 370 is indirectly linked to is these two factors. And how none of the people in sitting in Delhi or sitting in JNK discuss the same is a problem for the youngsters in JNK.
Kashmir has the lowest rate of unemployment among its parallel states, which is low middle income states. All right, so let's not get into that kind of an argument that this is driven by economic deprivation and all. That is not the
then
case.
Then why do you say simultaneously that there's no investment, nobody from outside wants
I didn't
to come
say that. What I said was the corporate India is not interested in investing.
Okay, I have to start taking last comments. I'll take a question.
Period.
Yeah, my question is...
Corporate India is not interested in investing in Jammu and Kashmir because of the unrest and the turbulence.
Well,
the absence of security.
It's not chicken and egg. Unrest starts in 89. I want to know what happened between 1960 and 1989. Not a single private corporate investor went there.
So but it was precisely that period when our capitalists and capitalism wasn't mature. You know
what about our capitalism?
By the Indian capitalism.
The Indian capital class was investing in Orissa, was investing in Gujarat.
Okay. 1 minute. Sanjay, give me a second. There's a question.
Does the sense of nationality only come because of boundaries? I mean, can't Kashmiris first be made to have a sense of being an Indian and then we go ahead and entrust this identity of an Indian on them? Can't we first make them feel an Indian without removing Article 370?
I think the question you really want to ask is whether all this can be done without the rhetorical argument that are going on.
Yeah.
I mean, there are good reasons why they feel the way they feel and somebody else feels the way they are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say is, if you can attack the problem, then you will have to discover that history is not permanent and that's not the only reference point. And there are also that, you know, the only thing you learn from history is basically that geography is not permanent. Psychologically, if you can break that idea and you can make them understand, and not like Mr. Dabu's insisting that we'll create an island of Kashmir, that's the fantasy. And we will not need anybody else.
I'm out of time.
We will grow our apples and we'll be happy. You are doing a disservice to the people of Kashmir, the young of Kashmir, the youth of Kashmir.
Which is why I want to integrate you on this economy.
I'm putting you on this debate. They want to go beyond your language. They want to go beyond the barriers you set for them.
I have to interject here, but everybody gets 30 seconds to make concluding remarks. Beksa, we'll start with you.
I endorse the feeling of that young lady there that the way Kashmir has been handled, democracy was a mockery.
What should happen now, Beksa?
I think now we have an opportunity. We have a prime minister today who appears to have a very powerful mandate, and he talks the right kind of language. I believe that he means it. I think this is the time that Kashmir problem should be resolved through negotiations with Pakistan. Smaller issues can be resolved. Now, what about Jammu and Ladakh?
Yes.
If you have ever read a document that we co-authored, called
the PDP document of self-governance, what is the prescription for
bringing the people of Jammu and Ladakh
Beksa, I'm interrupting
Kashmir
you because I'm really
platform.
Out of time. Bharat, your 30 seconds. Yeah.
If, as Mr. Beg says, you have India-Pakistan accord of some kind, and that's on the table.
Yes.
I think it's Satish Lamba and so on. There's a solution there that just needs to be endorsed by the two governments. If that is done, then the basis for the Pakistani support of terrorism and militancy and so on is ipso facto, is destroyed. Sure, if that's the way to go about it, nothing like it. In which case, 370 becomes redundant.
Okay, I want to just put a question to this audience, of course one has to say that if we put the same audience same question to an audience in the valley, the response could be extremely different. Likewise for Jammu and Ladakh, how many of you believe that it isn't important to meddle with 370 right now? Leave it alone, leave it where it is. Maybe a later stage, raise your hand. It's not important. It's not important to meddle with it right now. That's a few hands going up. How many of you think that it should go? And that's the majority of hands going up. Now I want to do a different test. How many of you here are from the Kashmir Valley? How many people do we have from Kashmir? Okay, we have about 6-7 people. And of course, here you could see a divide. I don't know if we actually have people from Jammu or Ladakh. So one has to qualify that.
That will be the polarization.
That will be the polarization.
That will
and
be
I want to
polarization
say that.
And that will be a danger to the security.
Therefore, do not discuss the issue.
Yeah.
Huh? Therefore, do not discuss the issue.
Mr. Modi said that Kashmiris should decide whether this article is India's favor or not.
Yes, but Kashmiris means Jammu, Ladakh and the Valley. Hasim, yes. How do you address the regional
I don't know if this question is asked of other states, but I'm happy to answer this. You can address it through regional councils. You already have a hill council in Ladakh. You can do it for Chenab Valley. I would look at Kashmir, not in terms of Jammu, Kashmir and Ladakh. I would look at it in terms of different concept called valley. The Indus Valley, the Chenab Valley, the Jhelum Valley, Pir Panchal and Jammu.
You have a question.
Yes, sorry. You're talking about the different councils. What about the pandits? Yes. Do you have
they are a part
at
of
all?
The Jhelum Valley, which is Kashmir.
Where
and
are
I
they?
Do not see them as separate from myself.
Do you see them at all in the valley?
I do, and I live with them, and they are a part of me. You pushed them all out.
I did not.
Now they are part of me. Of them.
Okay. I think this polarization is something, General Jaiswal, that we have to engage with.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, like I said, there is a feeling in the valley itself, most of it,
yes,
that 370 must continue, and because of that, the feeling which has been expressed by this young man,
yes,
because they're being misled on certain issues. Issue one, that it is not integrated with the Union of India. To date, when you are traveling with someone in the bus or something,
yeah,
and you're sitting with someone, he says, "Hum aapke vatan mein ja rahe hain." This is a normal statement.
Yeah.
How sad that after 60 years...
Whose failure is that, sir?
Failure is ours, for that matter. We have not been able to really provide succor to the people. We have not been able to play on the psyche of the people.
No democracy.
Okay. Ashok, last comment.
We are going to see a state assembly election in Jammu and Kashmir in October, November this year, which is going to be the third successive election, which will be broadly free.
Called honest,
which has never happened in Kashmir's history. And we have to go back, I would still say, whether it is the Armed Forces Special Act, which the lady is talking about, whether it is 370, all of these can go or come or stay or not stay after at the end of a political process.
And not before
we have
it.
To
it can't
start
be the tools for
process.
The political process.
It has to be led by politicians, not think tank interlocutors.
Okay, Sanjay.
I think you have to see that everything can be explained. Public opinion can be molded. The separatists have had a free run, partly because you have given Kashmir to family friends to run. There's a fantastic new opportunity here, and I'm addressing all the people of Kashmir and Jammu and Ladakh, that here is the opportunity you must grab with both hands. Forget history. History is what you do today, tomorrow. I think you've got to move out of that paradigm of you know, victimization or victimhood, and you can do it, and you're just like all of us.
Can we forget history? Can we forget history? Last word to you. Can we forget history anywhere? Why make it only about
I'll give you the answer this way. Never in human history have so many people with such diversity, linguistic, religious, lived together in one nation state. We have to be proud to be Indians. The questions of pertaining specifically to Jammu and Kashmir, because I first feel proud to be a part of being an Indian. I may be Tamil, I'm an Indian. Second, that with regard to Jammu and Kashmir, yes, there is alienation. Some of it is self-inflicted. Some of it is justified.
How do you deal with it?
I think we're going in the right way. The framework we agreed with Pakistan should proceed. I think, secondly, within the state, we should address the regional aspirations, which I hope they are addressed. I think you can't forever remain aloof. The entire issue of 370 should be discussed openly to build a national consensus.
Okay, we'll have to end it there. I think an important point was made that it's politicians who have to lead that dialogue, but it has to be part of some other process. It cannot be a standalone debate on 370, because that would just come across as more hostile than empathetic.
And the first instrument
of any political negotiation has to be empathy. Even when you want to show your tough side, you've also got to show
that
your soft side.
That old word Vajpayee used, insaniyat.
Not only that Shari Modi said, insaniyat, Kashmiriyat, or Vikas.
All right, we leave it there. Thank you very much. Let's end it here. The debate carries on. Thank you.